This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer, as I return from vacation. And unfortunately, the Phillies have not returned from their poor play while I was gone. The Phillies have now lost 5 of 7, though last night, not necessarily poor play in a couple phases of the game, but the offense just unable to get it going, losing 2-1 to Boston. We'll dive into it and kind of break down the last week of baseball and kind of where this team is at looking ahead. Is obviously been away for a few days. Happy to be back. And look, I'm going to dive into it, but my main message today is don't panic. And I'll tell you why, but, you know, it has been a frustrating stretch of baseball. The Phillies have now lost 5 of their last 7 games after winning the 5 in a row. Prior to that, they have been resilient, obviously, in the past. We will dive into it. But now, more frustrating, the Atlanta Braves get it done again yesterday. They were tied 6-6 in the 7th inning against the Marlins, but able to break it open. Ronald Acuna, his second homer of the game to take the they took the lead 7-6 and then a 3-run shot to basically put it away. Acuna also led off the game for the 3rd straight game with a home run. That kid is going to be awesome. He's already awesome, and he's 20 years old, and that is a little scary considering that dude is going to be a thorn in the Phillies' side for at least the next, you know, 6-7 years, whatever, minimum. So, not ideal, but still, look, the Phillies now 2 back of the Braves. They're still in the 2nd wild card spot behind the Brewers. At the moment, the surging Cardinals among the teams behind them. The Nationals still 5.5 back from the Phillies, 7.5 back from the Braves as they start to continue to, I should say, slip further and further away out of this division race. But look, the Phillies, again, I know, frustrating. Another tough one last night, especially when they play so well against a Red Sox team. Very reminiscent, granted, not in 13 innings, but of the loss in game 1 against Red Sox in Boston, though not as many mental errors in this one, just good old-fashioned lack of hitting, as the pitching was great. Nick Pivetta, I think the best takeaway from the game was that in a big stage against a great lineup, Nick Pivetta was awesome. Only real blemish was a solo shot to Sandy Leon, as Leon golfed one over the fence, clobbered it, but otherwise Pivetta really, really pitched well. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts to only 1 walk, just, and also looked good in the spot. You know, he looked confident, he trusted his stuff, was hitting 97, 98 at times, really looking great against a tough Boston lineup. But unfortunately, the bullpen lets him down, as Tommy Hunter would allow a home run later to Brock Holt. Brock freaking Holt is the one that kills you. Incredibly frustrating, as Rhys Hoskins contributes the only Phillies run of the game, a home run in the 5th inning, a solo shot. Otherwise, only 2 hits on the night for this offense, as that would do it. And look, let's dive into this here. As a little bit later on, we'll look at some of the news and notes, some interesting stuff going on with some roster moves. JP Crawford, something to do with him. Hector Neris back. Kingery surviving, as it were, and someone else on the way out, and maybe someone else coming back. We'll get into all that coming up, but let's start here. Look, it was a fun game last night in the sense that it was a well-played baseball game defensively and pitching-wise, as Rick Porcello was great for Boston. Their bullpen held up, and obviously the Phillies, outside of 2 solo home runs, pitched really well. But I know it was frustrating to watch that offense last night, and I think that was the prevailing takeaway by many, was two hits. And look, Rick Porcello's a really good pitcher, and he's had a good season and you know, won the Cy Young a couple years ago. It wasn't great last year, but obviously has the kind of stuff that can do it. But it's been a story as of late. This offense has just been unable to get going with any sort of consistency. Reese Hoskins, until the homer last night, had really been struggling for the last week or so, as well as Nick Williams has struggled last night in the two-hole. Kind of Kapler's been trying to find a lineup that works, moving guys around. I think I kind of bagged on Hoskins in the two-hole, but I really wished he had been in the two-hole in the ninth inning and had him coming up in that spot instead of Williams, and then Cabrera after that, as the game ended frustrating as well with Estrubel Cabrera. Justin Bour works a nice pinch hit walk. Scott Kingery into pinch run ends up stealing second during Estrubel Cabrera's at bat after Williams pops out, and Cesar pops out. Two outs there. That was frustrating. You get a runner on first, no outs in the ninth, and unable to do anything. But Estrubel strikes out on a Kimbrel wicked breaking ball, but gets by Leon, and Estrubel takes off for first, but just unable to beat out the throw. One thing we can say about Estrubel Cabrera, he is not fast, not a fast man, as it did look like he moved as soon as the ball was kind of missed there. It wasn't like he can get docked for not running on a called or a missed third strike, but he definitely did not get down the line fast enough. Unfortunately, the game ended there. Another kind of frustrating way to end it. But again, this Phillies team does fight back. And I know the offense has been frustrating lately. And I know that it is tough to watch this team fall a couple games back at the Atlanta Braves. And it really does seem like people are starting to hit the panic button. I mean, that was definitely the way it felt last night on Twitter. Some of the articles before the game about, can the Phillies survive this daunting stretch coming up and all this stuff that I've seen. I mean, it feels like I've been watching a different Phillies team than everyone else this season. This is a team that has been resilient all year long. And yes, they're going through a rough stretch, but they've lost 5 of 7 after winning 5 in a row before that. And granted, it was after losing 4 in a row before that. But at the same time, this team has shown a propensity to bounce back, a propensity to not fall into a hole that ends up killing them. And they've had great pitching all season long. And even during this stretch, the pitching has been there. Obviously, Arrieta, a tough outing last time out and a few tough outings here and there. But for the most part, Arrieta's been great since the All-Star break. And Aaron Nola's obviously been terrific. Pivetta seems to have turned things around. Vinny Velasquez, consistently good. Eflin has looked better the last few starts out. So, look, I think that it's not time to bail on this Phillies team right now. They have a lot going for them, and they have been in a bit of a hitting slump lately. And yes, the defense has been a problem all season long, but you look at this offense, and we'll talk about Wilson Ramos coming up, a little more news on him in a little bit, but when you bring Wilson Ramos back, and I know that this offense has struggled lately, but the pieces are there. It is a boomer bust offense for sure. They're a big inning type offense, but when you get Wilson Ramos back, there aren't a lot of holes in the offense if Estrubel Cabrera is playing shortstop. And I know that Estrubel had a tough series here, and a few guys have had a tough series here and there lately, but again, this is a team that has played well all season long and has found a way to bounce back from adversity. I don't know why now, at this point, people are starting to fall off and starting to kind of not believe in this team. And look, I'm not saying that this look, I could be wrong. This could be the beginning of the downfall, and they end up falling 5-6 back, and that's it. But the team we've seen this season hasn't given us a reason to think that yet. This team has done this already. They've fallen into a few slumps. The West Coast swing, obviously, earlier in the season with the 4-game sweep in San Francisco and Jake Arrieta mouthing off. The 4-game losing streak with the Reds, and then the fourth in Boston. They bounced back the next night and won a big one, and then went on a 5-game winning streak. All season long, we've talked about this. It's been a theme. The Max Scherzer game that they fought back in and Hector Neris blew it. The other games Hector Neris blew. The Adam Morgan to Jason Hayward grand slam walk-up. There have been so many tough games, tough losses, tough streaks for this team. And yet every single time they've wiped themselves off the mat and gotten back up and gone out and won baseball games. So I just don't know why this one is so different for people. I know maybe it's been a little extra ugly, and certainly they haven't been playing good defense all season long. And as of late, the bats have gotten very cold, as we know. But it's been an offense that has done enough in big spots all season long to put this team where it's at from a win-loss perspective. And look, I know there are a lot of people who think that they're going to drop off. You look at the run differential, that's usually an indicator of the plus-minus, you know, a run differential. It's usually an indicator of a team either over or underachieving. And the Phillies' run differential says that they are not as good a baseball team as their record is. But when you've watched this team play on a night-in, night-out basis, you kind of look, there are two things you take away. One, you take away that they are resilient and they are tough and that they are well coached, even though there are defensive errors and not a lot of, you know, there are some issues obviously with shifts and we've seen all that stuff. It's a team that's, you know, again, been resilient and tough and has had a good culture all season long. And then in addition, they're talented. I know that at times it hasn't looked that way, but they have a good lineup. You know, Reese Hoskins is a great hitter. And, you know, Adubel Herrera goes through streaks, but he can be a masterful hitter as well. And then, of course, Asdrubal Cabrera. I know he's had a couple rough games here, but Asdrubal is a good hitter who they brought in for a reason and looked good when they first brought him in. Wilson Ramos, when he gets here, is going to be a major upgrade for this offense. Nick Williams has struggled lately, but the man has shown that he can hit. So, look, I just think that it's premature right now. I get it. I think that it's also that maybe a lot of people just were waiting for the fall, almost just kind of waiting for this team to crumble and say, hey, I knew it. It's coming. And all I'm saying is give this team a chance to bounce back up because they've lost 5 of 7. It's not like they've lost 10 games in a row right now. That seems to be the way people are feeling. And again, they lost to the Red Sox last night in a 2-1 game. And I know the offense didn't get going, but the pitching showed up too. And they almost beat, again, the best team in baseball. They've played 3 games against a Red Sox team that is 51 games above 500. And they could have won, should have won 2. They only won 1, but they should have won 2 and they could have won all 3. So the sky is falling just seems a little aggressive for me right now. All I'm saying is give them a chance. Every chance they've had to bounce back, to show us that they can handle adversity, they've answered so far this season. And sure, at some point there won't be an answer, whether it's in September, whether it's the playoffs. But for right now, I think that it's just a little premature. If they lose another 3 or 4 games in a row or 4 of 5 and the Braves keep winning, all right, I get it. Then you start to worry a little bit. But right now, there's still a lot of baseball to be played. It is August the 15th, and they're only 2 games back in the division. And again, they're still in a playoff spot. They're still in the second wild card spot. So I know it's been a frustrating week plus here, but at the same time, try and keep it in perspective. And remember, A, that this team is 1 win away from what they won all of last season. And B, that they're still right there in playoff contention. They're a playoff team if the season ended today. And again, just because they've played poor baseball the last week and a half or whatever doesn't mean that that's going to continue, because it hasn't all season long. That hasn't been the pattern. It hasn't been bad baseball and then more bad baseball. It's been, all right, bad baseball, and now we're going to play some good baseball. We're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. So at least give this team a chance to do it. Big game tonight, obviously, with Vincent Velasquez taking the hill against the Red Sox. Nate Eovaldi pitching for the Red Sox, the trade deadline addition they got from the Rays. He's been great for them so far. Throws incredibly hard, one of the highest average fastball velocities in all of baseball. But that should be a good one tonight. And then look, after that, 5 against the Mets. A good way to get right is to have 5 games at home against the Mets. So again, don't panic. Don't overreact too much. There is still a lot of baseball to be played, and this is still a good baseball team. They're still 12 games above 500 and currently a playoff team. So that's all I'm saying. Don't freak out too much yet. We still got some time. All right, coming up, we will look ahead to tonight's game, as well as touch on some of the roster moves made yesterday and some potential ones that could come later today or tomorrow as well. Getting all that and more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we dove into last night's loss to the Red Sox. We'll look ahead to the second game of this two-game series tonight before the Mets come to town for a five-game and four-day stretch here with a doubleheader tomorrow on Thursday. So we will dive into that coming up. But a few news and notes from roster moves for the Phillies yesterday, potential roster moves to come as well. But I never got a chance to comment on it while I was away, but a quick comment on the Justin Bour trade. Loved it. I thought it was a great move. A guy who still has 2 years of arbitration control, a really talented left-handed power bat, someone who gives them something they absolutely didn't have. And a lot of people didn't think that they were doing enough to help this team win. I think, you know, look, they're trying to add in any way they can. And Mackenzie Mills, who knows as an arm, the guy they gave up, but they got him for Howie Kendrick last year. So I'd be willing to flip Howie Kendrick last year for Justin Bour this year in a second, anytime, anywhere. So I feel good about the Bour trade. I think it gives them an asset they didn't have before, a left-handed power bat off the bench and someone who can spell Santana and potentially even fill in the outfield if needed. Probably not, though. But regardless, a guy who who's going to give them a really impressive power bat for certain days in the lineup against certain matchups. And, of course, in a pinch hit role, as we saw last night, works the walk. Could have led to the tying run if the Phillies were able to capitalize. But also has been noted a fair amount as incredible numbers against a number of the Braves' pitchers. That's something I like to see as well. 7 of the last 11 against Atlanta. Again, that's another reason not to totally freak out here. We got a lot of baseball to be played, and there's still 7 of 11 against that team. I think there's a really good chance that how those games play out are going to decide the division. So no reason to freak out yet. All right, some roster moves made yesterday and then one that is potentially on the very near horizon. First and foremost, J.P. Crawford back from injury but sent down to the minors. Surprising, the Phillies decided to keep Kingery up instead of Crawford, as Kingery has obviously struggled immensely, though, playing much less since the Estrubel Cabrera trade and pinch runner last night. Maybe they feel that Kingery gives them a little more versatility from a defensive perspective, as well as a right-handed bat as opposed to a left-handed bat. They do have Justin Bour now as a left-handed bat off the bench, so Kingery, Crawford, the left-handed bat. That is my best guess for why you go Kingery over Crawford. I thought Crawford looked a lot more comfortable when he was healthy in the stretch in between DL stints the first time at the plate than Kingery has at any point recently. But at the same time, I think all around, I think they think Kingery gives him a little more right now. We'll see. If Crawford goes down to the minors and can start raking a little bit, I guarantee you he will take Kingery's place if things don't change for Kingery on the major league level as well. But a little bit surprising there. I thought Crawford might get this call up as Kingery has struggled so, but they do not go that way, as Hector Neris also called up as J.P. Crawford is sent down. Neris is back. Neris pitched really well in the minors. So, look, fingers crossed. You obviously don't trust him to come in and close out games or anything, but Hector Neris is certainly still a talented arm who showed he can have success on the major league level. So hopefully he can give him something here down the stretch. And then lastly, the Phillies traded Jake Thompson to the Milwaukee Brewers for cash considerations, as Thompson had been DFA'd when Justin Bour came in. So see you, Jake Thompson. We hardly knew you. Thompson, of course, part of that Cole Hamels trade, and along with Nick Williams, Jorge Alfaro, and Eichhoff, and I think Alec Asher is not here anymore, but I wouldn't have thought that he would be the first one gone from that trade, as a lot of high hopes for Thompson, but certainly didn't work out here in Philly. We wish him the best of luck. And then a potential roster move on the horizon, as Hardball Times had picked up on a few things yesterday, as it actually came originally from a Matt Breen story that Wilson Ramos could theoretically be activated as soon as today, as he was on a rehab assignment in Clearwater in Advanced A. He's recovering from the hamstring strain. And again, today, tomorrow, anytime soon here, if Wilson Ramos can come back in. I mentioned it a little bit before, but I don't think we can underrate what a massive, massive upgrade that is on the offensive end of the things for the Phillies, especially a team that struggled as of late. Alfaro, we saw it last night, that at bat in the eighth inning. I mean, you cannot take that pitch down the middle of the plate in the eighth inning in that spot. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. It was a strike right down the middle of the plate, Alfaro. And look, again, Alfaro, we've talked about it a lot. I love what he brings you from a defensive perspective, at least the upside of the defensive perspective, but still, you know, not polished, not as sound as Ramos will be. And obviously Alfaro, a lot of power, but Ramos, a much better hitter, was hitting .297 with 14 homers before getting injured. The all-star catcher in the AL, starter before getting injured as well, would have been as every time. Look, health is the issue with Ramos. If he's on the field, he's going to hit, and he's going to be a much better hitter than Alfaro. It gives them such a massive upgrade in that lineup. I don't think we can understate it, and I think that's another thing that for the don't panic crowd is that Wilson Ramos, I think people are underrating the impact he's going to have. And look, if he can come back soon, you know, whether it's today, tomorrow, the next day, that is already a win, as a lot of people thought that he wasn't going to come back till September 1st. So that would be huge, as they get an extra couple weeks potentially of Ramos and that offense in this lineup, as it is going to be a huge, huge upgrade for them. And again, once you get Ramos in there, there aren't any easy outs. You know, look, there have been guys who struggled, but you get a lot of professional hitters when you get Wilson Ramos and Estrubel Cabrera in the lineup instead of Scott Kingery and Jorge Alfaro. Professional hitters, guys who know how to go up and have good at-bats and challenge a pitching staff and work deep into a staff. That's all huge when you combine it with Rhys Hoskins. And look, Santana has been obviously a disappointment from an offensive perspective. There's no argument about that, but he's still a professional hitter who's going to work pitchers, work counts, and certainly can contribute offensively as well. And we'll get on base. So if you can utilize those skills and you got some more guys who can drive them in, guys like Wilson Ramos, guys like Estrubel Cabrera, I think that is a real positive. It is interesting, though, how lately Kapler has really struggled to kind of find a lineup he's comfortable with. For so long, we had that same lineup with Estrubel and the Odubel in the three hole, and even after Estrubel came over, he, you know, kind of slotted in the fifth hole, but now it's just moving all around. So we'll see once Ramos gets in here if Kapler can find a consistency for that lineup, but he'll have a lot of options. Justin Bour too, Roman Quinn, a nice option off the bench, a switch hitter as well. There's between righties and lefties and switch hitters, with Estrubel as a switch hitter, with Carlos Santana as a switch hitter, with, as just mentioned, Roman Quinn, a switch hitter, Andrew Knapp, a switch hitter, though he would be sent down almost definitely when Ramos comes up. But there's a lot of versatility in this lineup and a lot of mixing and matching that Kapler can do, and a lot of, again, good bats, professional bats. So I really think that I get it. Two hits is tough to watch after the way they've played the last week and a half, especially losing 2-3 in San Diego. I don't think that can be kind of understated. You lose 2-3 in Arizona, fine. You lose to the Red Sox at home in a one-run game, fine. You can't lose 2-3 to the Padres. Not where you're at there right now. You know, not with them being the worst team in the National League at the time. You just can't do it. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration stems from. But Wilson Ramos makes this lineup a lot tougher. And I really believe Justin Bour as well, believe that this lineup is going to start hitting again. And you know, the two hits of last night are going to be a distant memory. All right, looking at Velasquez versus Eovaldi tonight, a big one. They need something from Vinny tonight. Vinny needs to go out and give him a big one. He's been really good so far in big spots this season. And again, on a start-start basis, consistent. The Red Sox have not seen him yet this season. That's an advantage, as he is tough to, you know, he's got the stuff. If he's on and trusting his stuff, he's tough if you never faced him before. So you feel good about that with Velasquez, and or if you haven't faced him recently or whatever. So Eovaldi's also really good too. I don't want to freak people out, but we could have another game like last night tonight with a very low amount of hits on both sides of the ball, as both pitchers have really good stuff, and it's a good matchup for both. After that, though, look, it gets a much easier. 5 with the Mets, the doubleheader on Thursday, and then 3 over the weekend. And then the Nats, 3 in Washington, 3 in Toronto, then back home for 3 against the Nats. So you have 6 against the Nats, again, who are struggling as of late, and then 3 in Toronto against a relatively bad Blue Jays team. So, look, again, I think just the main theme of this show has been don't panic. Don't panic. This team is 12 games above 500. They are in a playoff spot right now and still only two back of a Braves team that is also young and also unproven and also has a lot of pitchers who have pitched a lot more innings than they ever have before and are going to be asked to. So, again, I know the Braves are playing well right now, but this can change again. We've seen it many times this season, and I think it's fair to give this Phillies team a chance to bounce back here and at least show us that they can, or if they don't, then it's been a hell of a run. But again, they are a playoff team as of right now, so don't panic. Feel positivity, and I think they get it done against the Red Sox tonight. I really do. They did it last time in Boston, winning that second game on the back of Jake Arrieta after losing that first one they should have had. So I really believe that they're going to bounce back tonight. They've done it all season long. They're one of the best home teams in baseball. I think we see that tonight. Either way, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.